Hello, marketeers. Welcome to another episode of AEC Marketeer Podcast, exploring AEC marketing and beyond. I'm your host, Keelan Cox, and I'll be exploring marketing trends and answering your most pressing questions to help you thrive as an AEC marketeer.
All right, marketeers, thank you so much for joining me. Today I have on Dr. Tullio Rossi. Tullio is an award-winning science communicator, marine biologist, and graphic designer. As founder of the agency Animate Your Science, he helps STEM professionals tell their story to the world. His engaging video animations and eye-catching graphics make science and engineering understandable for everyone, reaching millions of people around the world to create a real-life impact. Welcome, Tullio.
Thank you for having me. It's great to be here.
So this is a really fun episode because you and I met when you did your exchange program at my university.
That's right.
At UCSB.
UCSB. I still have great memories of that year. Probably the most fun year of my life.
And we've been connected via LinkedIn for God knows how long. And you recently did this reintroduction of yourself on LinkedIn and it's basically explaining what you do now. And I was like, that would be really cool for architects, engineers, contractors, because basically what we're trying to do as AEC marketers is communicate really complex topics. So before we really dig into it, how did you get started in this line of work?
Yeah, so the story starts when I was a teenager still, and my art teacher noticed that I like to play around with graphic design and visual media, and he gave me a pirate copy of Photoshop.
Okay.
And that was the beginning of it all. So I started playing around with Photoshop on my own just for fun, and that was before YouTube even existed, and so I was learning by reading magazines of graphic design, and I made myself a self-taught graphic designer.
Okay.
And for years I did posters and flyers for events, the same events where I would go on a Saturday night.
Okay.
And I did that parallel to my university education as a marine biologist, because that was my other big passion.
Okay.
It was the ocean, and I wanted to study it and understand it better. And I thought the two would never really meet. The world of science and design will be quite separate, until I found myself having my first research paper accepted for publication during my PhD in Australia. And that's when I realized that actually design and visual communication can be extremely, extremely beneficial for science and engineering and all technical subjects that tend to be a bit impenetrable from the outside, tend to have lots of jargon and complexity. Making things visual and presenting it as a story, possibly, the two approaches that I use, that I found to be very, very effective. And so then what happened is that I made a video about my PhD work and put it out there, sent it to a few competitions, and it started winning awards. And I was very pleased with the results. But the most important thing was that thousands of people were watching it and learning about the research, which in my case was about climate change. So very important that very important that the public hears about it. And so it was a great experience personally, and it made me notice that lots of researchers around me liked what they did, and they told me, oh, I wish I could do the same. I just don't know how to do it, or don't have the time. And so that was when I started to take this more seriously, and I realized, okay, maybe I can do this as a service. I can do it for them. And so that was the beginning of my journey with my own company, Animate Your Science. I started on my own with no money. And little by little, I built a team and a client base that is now global. We're very proud to say we have clients literally in every continent, including Antarctica. We work with a government body here in Australia that does Antarctic research. And yeah, we help STEM professionals in two ways. Either we do it for you, so we produce the videos and graphics for you, or we teach you how to do it. And we have a portfolio of online courses and workshops to skill people up in these things.
So then what do you think is the advantage of using animated video to explain these complicated topics?
Well, animation videos have a couple key advantages. Well, first one is that you're playing with two communication channels. You have a visual and you have the auditory. So people can watch the animation and learn and absorb meaning through just the visual, but also you have a voiceover on top of it. So you're playing with two channels. And the beauty of animation is that you can, when you prepare the script and the storyboard, you can sit down and reflect, okay, which ideas do I want to appear only in the voiceover and not in the visuals, or vice versa, only in the visuals and not in the voiceover? Or if something is really important, maybe put it in both, something you both describe with the words and show visually to make sure that people get it and not miss that point. So that makes it very flexible and powerful. That said, there's a fine line because we humans have limited brain capacity. We have a cognitive load that if it gets exceeded, then we lose information. And sure. So I found that also with animation, you can go too far. And I don't know if you're familiar with this beautiful YouTube channel called Kurzgesagt. It's a German YouTube channel about science, and they make these amazing 2D animations. They're very high-end, very dynamic, very colorful. And I watch many of them. Every time I'm so absorbed by the visuals, but then I kind of forget what the voiceover is telling me. Because right. there's okay. just too much coming at my brain at the same time.
Yeah.
And so when I realized, I was like, okay, this is more entertainment than proper communication. Because if you what you care is to really get your message across, the important thing is to keep the cognitive load low enough that people can absorb everything you say.
Right.
So that's the fine line, really. But yeah, animations, it's beautiful because you've got those two channels, the visuals and the auditory. And when it comes to visuals, you can use anything you like, really. Even things we cannot see, like viruses and bacteria, you can make a drawing of them and animate that drawing. So even for abstract concepts, it's very, very powerful.
So then how do you break down such complicated topics into palatable information? Because this is a challenge the science community has. It's definitely a challenge that architects and engineers have. And you mentioned jargon, like both of these areas are just chock full of jargon.
100% jargon. In a way, it's there for a reason, right? When we talk with each other, professional to professional, one word jargon can convey so much meaning that it saves you half a paragraph, right? So there is a point for jargon, but it's all about the audience, right? It's about unlearning how to communicate to multiple audiences. If you only use jargon in your communication, you really restrict your audience to only other experts. And then when you talk to somebody from a different discipline or somebody from the general public, they give you that blank stare because what you're saying makes no sense to them. So how do we do it? Well, the key approach is to use storytelling. That's the foundation of it all. And I think having a good story is even more important to have a very polished video. You can get away with okay, amateurish animation if the story is really good and it connects with people at an emotional level. Then you have them. And the visuals become of secondary importance. So story, what are the key ingredients of story? It's conflict. It's drama. Something needs to happen. And it needs to be bad enough. It needs to have high stakes. So researchers and engineers are not really used to think about their work in this lens. But if you think about it, there is conflict and drama in everything.
Yeah.
In every scientific project. We're doing that project to solve a problem or to fill a knowledge gap. And if we don't fill that knowledge gap, there are stakes, there are consequences. If we don't figure out a cure for a certain disease, people will die from it. So that's the high stakes you need to use in your communication to make sure that it comes across as something important and structured like a store. That is the center. Then another good approach that we often use is to put a face. So use a character, a protagonist in the video. Again, to humanize it, to help people connect at an emotional level with the video, having a character really helps. And that character can be a human, can be an animal, can even be an inanimate object that you humanize, you know, a brick with a face. You know, it can be right. anything really, but it really helps if you have a face that people can look at and understand and relate with. So for example, I'll give you this example. We had a client that worked with Australian chicken farmers, and that was their audience. It was probably 200 people in the whole world that fit that definition. And that was great for us because by having a very clear target audience, we knew how to perfectly create a character that was just like them. So we knew what they looked like, what hat they would wear, what the dog looks like, what the car they drive looks like, what the barn looks like, what the trees around the farm look like. So everything in the video was designed to be relatable so that when that person sees the video, they're like, oh yeah, that's like me. Mm-hmm. This character looks like me and is having the same experience I'm having, the same problem I'm having. Now I'm listening.
Right.
So that's the approach, really, to try to make it as relatable as possible to your target audience. Did that answer your question? I got a bit lost.
Yeah, that's perfect. So then we kind of touched on this, but maybe digging into it a little bit, how do you handle the use of jargon if you're trying to simplify a larger concept?
Yeah, so definitely you need to start with your target audience and figure out, okay, how much jargon can I use?
Right.
And then basically how much pre-existing knowledge we can assume from our target audience. If that's none, well, then you really need to stay away from it. And how do you do that? Well, either you explain the key concept. So if there's one concept that's really, really important, typically represented by with a jargony word, don't use that word or use it, but then explain it. Otherwise, a great, great thing is to use analogies.
Mm.
And analogies are powerful because you start with something they're familiar with, and then you bring them with the analogy to the point where you want to bring them. So I'll give you an example. Let's say you want to explain what an atom is to middle schoolers. And you go to school and you couldn't do this. You can bring a loaf of bread with you and say, okay, guys, look at this loaf of bread. What does this have to do with an atom? Well, we cut this loaf in half. And then we take that half and we cut it in half. And then take that half and we cut it in half. We keep going and going and going and going. At some point, you won't be able to cut that crumb in half. That's an atom.
Mm.
Now, it's not the most scientifically spot on, correct analogy, but that's good enough in my eyes and takes those kids much closer to where you want them to be than they were before.
Right.
So this can be applied to anything. So for example, a classic analogy, let's say you want to explain how the arteries and veins work. You compare them to a highway system. Hmm. And our red blood cells, little trucks driving around, transporting oxygen. Things like that. Analogies right. that always start with something people are familiar with, and then you build on that.
Hmm. I could see this being really cool just to translate it over for something like PFAS. I don't know if PFAS is a challenge in Australia, but it's like I could be totally off here. I'm not an engineer or a scientist, but it's like the microplastics in water mm-hmm. and just explaining how they're like removed or what they do to your body or something like that. Like big complex topic that could easily be simplified.
100%. Yeah, I don't have an analogy ready to go for microplastics, but we can work on it. And also, I'll give you a tip.
Yes.
AI, like ChatGPT, is excellent with analogies.
Oh.
So it's really quite hard for us to come up with good analogies. Mm-hmm. It's great to brainstorm them with ChatGPT or similar AIs. I was very impressed how good it is with analogies. Ooh. So if you really have no clue where to start with that analogy, maybe brainstorm with AI. And
like that.
Trust me, it will help. It will be very helpful with it.
I love that. That's a really good idea. So then you touched a little bit on this, but like the cognitive load that we have. With that in mind, what would you see as like the ideal length of a video, like the ones that you're producing?
Yeah, well, I think the sweet spot is around the 2-minute mark.
Okay.
That's long enough that you can touch on a little bit of the detail, but not get lost in it.
Right.
And it's short enough that people don't get distracted and go away. So we find that the 2-minute mark be the sweet spot. That is equivalent to a word budget of 300 words or less, which is good enough to play with. Still a bit tricky, of course, to boil something complex down to that, but it can be done. It's an art, and you know, it's exactly part of the value we add as an agency, is going from that big complexity that the client has in their head and boil it down to these 300 words. Somehow it's easier to do it from the outside than from the inside. I don't know if you've heard the saying of either you cannot read the label of the bottle when you're in the bottle.
Oh, I haven't, but I like that.
Well, that very much applies to researchers, engineers. You know, after you work on something for a long time, you're in the bottle, and the way you look at it is very different. Your point of view is very different than people from the outside. And so in a way, we from the outside are better positioned to tell what your work is about to another person that is new to it.
Right.
Because we're outside looking at that bottle. And so, yeah, it's really how it works. I also personally find it hard to do my own marketing messaging, although it's the same techniques that I use with my clients, but when it's my stuff, it's harder. I don't know. It's strange. It's easier to have an external person look at it and tell you what the message is.
Yeah. I mean, for us, that's like writing a resume. Like writing your own video and your own resume is impossible, but we do it all day long for other people. Like, no problem.
Yeah, that's right.
Could you give some examples of work you've done with engineers or engineering in the past?
Yeah, of course. Well, the first one that comes to mind is an animation we made for a shipbuilder. It's a defense sector shipbuilder. So it's called, basically, here in Adelaide in South Australia, this is one of the most advanced shipyards in the world for building frigates. And they wanted an animation that showed how technologically advanced this shipyard is and how cool working there is. So that basically this could help with their recruitment. And so we showed things how these ships have a digital twin and how basically you can navigate this ship in this 3D digital model before you even build it, and how the ship is modular and a bit like Lego pieces. You can change bits and pieces even after it's built. You can, you know, change a radar system for a weapon system or something like that. Yeah, so that was probably the closest one we've had to, you know, engineering and building and big things. But we also have done a lot in chemical engineering. Here in Australia, we have a client at Flinders University that does really cool things for basically coming up with sustainable materials. And a really cool project he did was to come up with a sponge to soak up oil spills in the ocean.
Okay.
And this sponge is made from waste materials like sulfur. So things that normally we would need to dispose and spend a lot of money disposing can be combined with a certain chemical reaction and create this sponge material. It is super cheap and even reusable. So really cool chemical engineering things, or even genetic engineering, other projects like that. Oh, yeah. And you named microplastics earlier. We've done also videos on microplastic research. Although, yeah, whether that falls under the umbrella of engineering or not, I'm not sure, but the line is quite blurry between science and engineering at times.
Yeah, I mean, there's plastic in the ocean. We all know that. That's the problem.
Oh yeah, there's plenty of it. And you know, science is in our name, but the way we mean it is a very broad sense. So science in the
Sure.
terms of knowledge. So we work with all sorts of disciplines, even humanities, for example. So really, the beauty is that the principles of communication are always the same ones. As you
Yeah.
know, that storytelling never changes. Storytelling is storytelling, no matter if you're talking about a project in economics or engineering or, you know, physics. Doesn't matter. It's the same principles we follow, and we leverage the expertise of the client. They are the expert. We are the experts in communication. So together, we can communicate and tackle just about anything. Even if we don't have expertise in every single field of science and engineering, we don't have to. We're
Yeah.
just experts in communication.
I love that. I mean, that's the whole reason I thought this would be such a useful chat, because I can see marketers in this industry do the same thing where, you know, we're trying to effectively communicate a pretty complex project to people who maybe don't have that same level of understanding. And I'm very obviously not an engineer or an architect or a contractor, but I just think applying something like this, even to a proposal, like if you could have a 2-minute video embedded into your PDF document explaining your entire approach, or maybe like the most important piece of your approach, like how cool would that be to really drive home a message of like, we understand this concept so well that we can break it down into palatable information that like that's going to stick, and that can go beyond a proposal process. Like that could go into explaining a project to the public. Like there's the world kind of opens up when you start to look at what Animate Your Science does, to your point, is taking expertise and knowing how to communicate it. So very cool.
Absolutely. When you mentioned proposals, we actually do video. We have made videos that are used inside research proposals, and they never
Okay.
made never saw the light of day, that they were just used within that proposal. So
Right.
it is something people are doing. You need to check whether it's allowed by your specific funding scheme or bid you're putting through,
Right.
because not all of them allow video content, but it's definitely something people are doing. And yeah, that there is value in it, because it put yourself on the other end, the reviewer of this
Yeah.
bid or grant proposal. You know, you've been reading heavy things all day, and here comes the one with a 2-minute video. It's like, oh, this is refreshing.
Yes, yeah.
It's a much better experience also for the reviewer, right? So it's a way to stand out and to look different in a good way. So that definitely it is something that people do use.
Perfect. Right. Well, if someone is sitting here listening to this podcast and wants to create a video like this, how can they engage with you?
Yeah, sure. So they can head to our website, which is animateyour.science. No.com, just .science. That's our domain. Many people get confused with that. So animateyour.science, and then you can just go to our services page, and there you find a way to get in contact with us. If you're interested in learning how to do these things yourself, let's say maybe you're a marketing professional. We have trainings in how to make, for example, research posters, how to, and one that we're just about to release, how to make videos yourself using entry-level soft. This one is about to come out in just 2 weeks, just over 2 weeks.
Cool.
So to find that one, you just need to go again to our website and under the training tab, and then you find it. We have online courses that you can watch at your own pace, or workshops that can be organized for groups.
Very cool. Well, thank you so much. This is such a treat to be able to talk to you, and obviously to reconnect after God knows how many years.
Absolutely. It was so nice to see your email come through. It was very, very fun to reconnect. And yeah, thank you for having me. And I hope your listeners got some value from today and some inspiration.
There you go.